Good evening. If you'd like to go ahead and turn to Ephesians 2, we'll read that in its entirety in just a second. As part of our abbreviated service tonight, I'd like to just take a look at Ephesians 2 real quickly and see what it has to remind us of. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he begins by outlining many of the blessings that are found in God through Christ. And in chapter 2, he reminds the Ephesians of where they came from. And it's very applicable to us and where we came from. So if you don't mind, we'll read that chapter. So please, I know sometimes when big blocks of text are read, I especially with the kids, can sometimes get distracted. So if you would follow along as we read this. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together in a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." In these passages here, Paul reminds the Ephesians where they started. And I think a lot of times that serves as a good reference point for ourselves as we think about where we started, where we've come from. In Romans, a very, very similar thought is in Romans 4. It says, "For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" When God looked down on us, he saw a disobedient, rebellious, hateful people. And in spite of that, he was willing to offer his son. There's some thoughts that I've been just thinking about, and how, you know, some people look at the world around them and they say, you know, how is it that good people are able to die and, according to the Bible, be condemned? But when you look at what God has done for us, what steps he's taken to reconcile us in spite of all that we do, you don't see a picture of an unjust, wrathful God. You see a picture of a God who's willing to do everything he can so that we have the opportunity to take part in his redemptive purposes. The sum of all this, from this section, as Paul reminds the Ephesians what God has done and reminds them of where they came from, he expects that to invoke a response. The Ephesians and us should respond to the things that God has done for us. And he sums that up in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God." As we look around and see what God has done on our behalf in spite of our sins, we should be overwhelmed with a desire to serve him and repay just a portion of what he's done for us as we try to imitate his son, who is his perfect image. And then lastly, in Galatians, as we think about his redemption, as Ephesians talks about in the first chapter, as being adopted as children, Galatians 3 says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." God has given us a clear path to his family, to be adopted as sons, and that's through obedience and faith. For those of you who are still enemies, who are still under the prince of the power of the air, under the wrath of God, we have a clear out, and that is Jesus Christ. For those of us who know what God has done, and yet maybe get distracted on occasion, Paul's words are a reminder to us that we are God's children, just like Jesus is. And we have the same expectations to obey his will, just like Jesus did. If there's any that want to respond to that invitation to become part of God's family, to have our sins forgiven, or for those of us who are part of God's family that need encouragement, that need perhaps to reevaluate our goals and our objectives, and to realign those with Christ's, now would be the time to come as we stand and sing.